The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now to the UK, where the Green Party has swept to victory in the Gorton and Denton by-election in Manchester, snatching what was one of Labour's safest seats and delivering a major blow to Keir Starmer. In a moment, we'll speak to Stephen Pound, but first let's hear the moment new Green MP Hannah Spencer was elected.
So I hereby declare that Hannah Catherine Spencer is duly elected Member of Parliament for the Gorton and Denton constituency.
I didn't grow up wanting to be a politician. I'm a plumber. I am no different to every single person here in this constituency. I work hard. That is what we do. Except things have changed a lot over the last few decades, because working hard used to get you something. But now, working hard, what does that get you? Instead of working for a nice life, we're working to line the pockets of billionaires. We are being bled dry. And I don't think it's extreme or radical to think working hard should get you a nice life.
Okay, that is Hannah Spencer there, only the sixth ever Green MP elected to the House of Commons. So what does her victory mean for the Labour Party and Keir Starmer? To discuss this, we're joined by Stephen Pound, former Labour MP for Ealing North and former Northern Ireland Shadow Minister. Stephen, how big a blow is this for Labour and Keir Starmer?
Well, believe you me, I'd much rather face problems with ladybirds than I would with this, because it's pretty brutal. Look, the problem is, even in my lifetime, 90% of the people in this island actually voted for one of the two main parties. And we had a sort of like duopoly, but pretty much like, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, yeah. in Ireland. And that has now totally gone by the board. We always thought that only proportional representation would break the mold. And so you look at the Dáil today, when you've got, you know, the three parties at least, and then you've got AIM 2 and 100% redress and any number of independents. And if you look at the situation in the north, when I first came into Parliament, we pretty much had the UUs, as the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP. Then the SDLP get outflanked on one side by the Shipbash Sinn Féin, the UUs get outflanked by the DUP, then the DUP, they get outflanked by TUV, and so on and so on and so on. What we really are nowadays is in a world of multi-party politics, pick and mix. The old certainties are gone. I never, ever would have thought that Fine Gael and Fianna Dáil would have been in the same coalition. And we're now facing a nightmare situation, particularly if I can concentrate on the Labour Party.
Yeah.
We are being hit from the left and we're being hit from the right. And the problem is, it's very, very easy to come up with a great series of nostrums. When you hear Hannah Spencer, dear God, banging on about, you know, millionaires, billionaires bleeding us dry. I mean, that's pretty much playground politics. I mean, we've heard that before. It's not serious politics, but it appeals to people very strongly at a visceral level. And there's something about when you actually say there's a person over there who's better off than me and he's, you know, why or she getting that? It appeals on a visceral level. But I don't think it's a long-term prospect. The reality is, though, that the Labour Party, I'm not entirely sure we're facing an extinction event, but we're getting pretty damn close to it.
And the Tories are coming pretty damn close to it as well. I mean, they had, I think, their worst ever by-election performance.
I know. I always search for a little chink of sunshine somewhere, a little ray of hope. I have to say, you know, I've been supporting the same football team for 60 years, and I need a little bit of hope from time to time. I've been a member of the Labour Party since God was a boy. But the reality is, I mean, the Tories and the Liberal Democrats, I mean, you know, who? I mean, they barely got more than the raving monster, loony, whatever it was, party. There's a thing on that. But, you know, let's be charitable for a second. The Conservatives are being outflanked brutally by Reform. Reform are led by a charismatic leader in Nigel Farage. He's flip-flopped all over the shop. He's gone from supporting proportional representation and abolition of the House of Lords, nationalisation of all the utilities, to different policies. But he's very charismatic and he's racking up the votes. So the Conservatives are actually facing the prospect of they're going to have to sort of come to some sort of a reprieve, some sort of agreement with Reform. As for Labour, you know, could we honestly go in with the Greens? I don't think so. What about the Liberal Democrats? Again, I don't think so. But the reality is that we could be faced with what I consider to be an utter nightmare, a situation either like a loveless marriage we have in the north between, you know, Sinn Féin and the DUP, where they've been in bed together, but certainly love this, or a situation where we have permanent instability. Look at Germany, look at France, look at Belgium, look at the Netherlands, look at so many other constituents in so many other countries where you have utter instability. The one chink of light on that is, I think it was in the Netherlands, or was it Belgium? They didn't have a government.
Belgium.
Was it 15, 16 months?
Yeah.
And you know, they got on rather well. But you know, let's perhaps not look over the edge of that cliff just yet.
Just briefly on reform, will they be disappointed that they didn't take the seat?
I think they, look, there's a couple of things that sort of breed disappointment about that. I think the Green campaign was disgusting in many ways. The idea that they went, they had the candidate wearing a keffiyeh, you know, the sort of Palestinian identification scarf, making speeches in Urdu. It was like, the awful populist, the pro-Gaza populist we've had in the past, particularly a man called George Galloway, whose frequent, thank God, is not on the scene at the moment. So reform will say...
He did endorse the Green candidate, I think I'm right in saying.
I know, and despite that, she won. It's a sort of endorsement. I mean, I think Tommy Robinson, who's a man, Stephen Yaxley Lennon, who's ultra, ultra right-wing in this country, I think he endorsed the reform candidate. So I have to say, with friends like that, my friend, you don't need enemies. But yeah. Look, reform will be disappointed because they threw the kitchen sink at this. They had over 1,000 people out canvassing, knocking on the doors. They had their posters up all over the shop. But up until a couple of days ago, it was a three-horse race. Then what happened was the Labour vote, you know, I was up there, I saw it happen. It was melting like an ice floe in front of your eyes. It was the Labour vote was just disappearing, but it was going towards the Greens. I think what reform will not like about this is it was an anti-reform swing. We've had a by-election in Wales for a Welsh seat not so long ago, where the Welsh Nationalist Party, the Plaid Cymru, they actually beat reform. But because the Liberals and the Labour people actually voted with them. So there's an anti-reform movement around at the place. But the nightmare for me is that the Greens could mop up in the south and south, the more sort of Wexford and Waterford parts of the country, whereas reform could actually sweep in the north and the Midlands. That is a nightmare. And the consequences for this country, political instability. And if you actually have a look and you find out what is the policy on, for example, Irish unification, they haven't got a clue. Reform are talking about basically building a wall along, you know, the six counties. They really don't have any grasp of the realities of it. So for the island of Ireland, for which I care very deeply, the island of Ireland is faced with a range of politicians on this side of the water, none of whom seem to have a particular clue, an ex-year-old Jeremy Corbyn, who just basically wants back to the 36 counties again. No problem with that, 32 counties.
Yeah, it is worrying. Just before we let you go, can I just ask you about those reports, Greater Manchester Police confirming they're looking at this concept of family voting. Election Observer Group saying they witnessed concerningly high level of illegal practice whereby two voters use one polling booth with one potentially directing the other how to vote. Nigel Farage going further than that. He said it raises serious questions about the integrity of the democratic process in predominantly Muslim areas. What's your take on this?
Well, there's two issues here. Firstly, family voting, Barat, is a very well-established and deeply regrettable tradition. I mean, I've seen postal votes being delivered in polling stations, at the count at the town hall, in the same handwriting, in the same colour ink, and all in a hand over in a block. Hopefully, we put a stop to that with now personal identification, as we have, as you know, in the north, where you have to identify yourself. You can't just come up and just hand over a postal vote. The one about in the polling station, I don't see that. There's no way that the polling clerks, the telling clerks, the returning officers could actually allow somebody to stand outside a polling booth. What they can do is stand outside the polling station. But if they do anything other than hand out leaflets, then they can be arrested.
I think what they were suggesting is, though, that husbands were standing beside their wives as they were voting and directing them how to vote.
You can't do that. That's illegal. That's against the Representation of the People Act. That's a criminal offence, and you can actually be sent to prison for that. I know exactly what this is all about because I've seen it in my place. I've seen the number of times when the man comes in and says, "Oh no, she can't vote without me. She can't." And then they play the card. They say she cannot, as a woman, go in there unescorted when there are men in the room. Now, believe you me, that may apply in 14th century Afghanistan, but it cannot apply in Northern Europe in the 21st century.
And yet election observer groups were saying they saw concerningly high levels of this illegal practice.
I would be surprised, again, because the returning officers who are actually on duty on the day are under a legal obligation in the name of the Crown to actually ensure that doesn't happen. Nice. What could happen is I think some people have a little bit squeamishness when it comes to sort of, you know, ethnic practices, and I think that's what's probably behind it. But let's see what comes out. The Greater Manchester Police are looking into it, and I'd be very, very interested. I don't think it's going to overturn the Greens' majority,
though. No, I don't think so. Just very lastly, the Prime Minister, he is safe for now, I presume, at least until the local elections. Is that a fair assessment?
It's a very fair assessment, to which I would only add, you need to have an alternative name in the frame to actually defenestrate someone. You've got to kill the king. There's got to be a prince standing by.
Okay. Actually, on that, would Andy Burnham have won this seat, the Labour mayor, if the Manchester mayor, if he'd been allowed to stand for Labour?
I don't think God Almighty could have won this seat at the present time if he was wearing a red rosette.
Okay. All right. Thank you indeed, Stephen Pound, former Labour MP for Éire Nord, former Northern Ireland Shadow Minister. Thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.